Hello and welcome to episode 821 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell, who has recourse to thee and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I hear all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me for the love of Jesus Christ. Extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to the utmost. Help me, therefore, now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy, that not only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope. Thus may it be. Today, friends, wanted to take a look at Meditations and Readings for Lent from St. Thomas Aquinas, available for free download at fisheaters.com, the excellent traditional Catholic website. This is the third week in Lent, Sunday. The heading here is, "It is the Passion of Christ that has freed us from sin." St. Thomas begins with Apocalypse 1:5. "He hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The passion of Christ is the proper cause of the remission of our sins. And that in three ways. Number one, because it provokes us to love God. St. Paul says, "God commandeth his charity towards us, because when as yet we were sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:8. Through charity, we obtain forgiveness for sin. As it says in the gospel, "Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much." Luke 7:47. I love that phrase there, friends. Provokes us to love God. The passion of Christ is the proper cause of the remission of our sins because it provokes us to love God. That's the appropriate response. We should be provoked to love our Lord, to see that the second person of the Most Holy Trinity suffered to that degree for us. Number two, St. Thomas says the passion of Christ is the cause of the forgiveness of sins because it is an act of redemption. Since Christ is himself our head, he has, by his own passion, undertaken from love and obedience, delivered us, his members, from our sins, as it were at the price of his passion. Just as a man might, by some act of goodness done with his hands, buy himself off for a wrong thing he had done with his feet. For as man's natural body is a unity made up of different limbs, so the whole church, which is the mystical body of Christ, is reckoned as a single person with its own head, and this head is Christ. So we are, in the mystical sense, friends, part of that one body of Christ. Let's think about that, and that should drive our actions toward the good and away from what is evil. Because as we've mentioned before, and it bears repeating, with our thoughts, our words, our actions, we're either building up the body of Christ or tearing down the body of Christ. No man is an island. We don't live in isolation, even if we do live isolated from other people, even if you're a hermit or something like that who lives in the woods. You're part of the mystical body of Christ. It's very, very important to remember that. So everything that we do has a consequence. It's why we need to do good and avoid evil. And we won't know until the end of our lives. And then ultimately, at the end of time, when our Lord comes to judge the living and the dead, that everything we did mattered to a great degree, and just precisely how it mattered and why and under what circumstances, it's known only to Almighty God, and that will be revealed in the end. Let's think about that. Let's pray on that, and let's remember that when temptations to sin come. How does this look in the light of eternity? That's what we should always be asking ourselves. Because wealth, pleasure, power, fame, those are temporary. Those are ephemeral. They're evanescing. They're fading away. What is eternal? God is eternal. Heaven is eternal. And hell is eternal. Let's keep that in mind during Lent and always. Number three. The passion of Christ was a thing equal to its task. For the human nature through which Christ suffered his passion is the instrument of his divine nature, whence all the actions and all the sufferings of that human nature wrought to drive out sin are wrought by a power that is divine. Christ in his passion delivered us from our sins in a causal way. That is to say, he set up for us a thing which would be a cause of our emancipation, a thing whereby any sin might at any time be remitted, whether committed now or in times gone by, or in time to come, much as a physician might make a medicine from which all who are sick may be healed, even those sick in the years yet to come. But since what gives the passion of Christ its excellence is the fact that it is the universal cause of the forgiveness of sins, it is necessary that we, each of us ourselves, make use of it for the forgiveness of our own particular sins. This is done through baptism, penance, and the other sacraments, whose power derives from the passion of Christ. By faith also we make use of the passion of Christ in order to receive its fruits. As St. Paul says, Christ Jesus, whom God hath proposed to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, Romans 3:25. But the faith by which we are cleansed from sin is not that faith which can exist side by side with sin, the faith called formless, but faith formed, that is to say, faith made alive by charity, so that the passion of Christ is not through faith applied merely to our understanding, but also to our will. Again, it is from the power of the passion of Christ that the sins are forgiven, which are forgiven by faith in this way. And so ends the meditation. So our faith in Jesus Christ and in what he's done for us, in his passion, his death, and his resurrection, that needs to motivate us. Faith working through love, faith working through charity. We are saved by grace alone. But that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and for a one-time instance say, I take Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and boom, when I die, I'm in the kingdom. No, we have to do something. We have to respond to his love. Even the ability to do that is his grace. But we're not robots. We're not automatons. God won't force us to love him. But if we want to do what's right, if we want to love him, we want to get to heaven, it's not only faith, it's faith and works. It's our actions, the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. keeping the commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, that's doing something. That's not just a one-time making an altar call or saying, I take Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, as happens in some Protestant circles. No. Being a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ has to take place on an everyday basis. In my instance, a moment-by-moment basis. And indeed, we love him by keeping the commandments, by doing his will, by doing good and avoiding evil, by frequenting the sacraments. By doing things like going to Eucharistic adoration, by praying the rosary every single day, by being kind and respectful to everyone we meet, by telling the truth always, by refusing to tell lies. That's how we love God. We have to do something. We have to respond to his love. Let's remember that during Lent, and let's remember that always. Jesus Christ paid a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We never want to offend you, even in the slightest thing. And thank you, Our Lady of Fatima, and all of you angels and saints for praying for us. We love you, and we thank you for your intercession. Let's conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music, poetry. She's very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you cannot use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this message far and wide. We know that communication is a human right. We know that RPM is taking people out of the prison of silence, getting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. Put yourself in the shoes of a non-speaker. Can you imagine how sad, how frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate? Couldn't even tell your family what your favorite color is or what you want for breakfast. It's no way for anyone to live. I've had the privilege of interacting with non-speakers who have broken through to open communication, and I can assure you, they're some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent folk I've ever met in my life. So thank you for spreading the word. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.